Now, I know you will find it hard to believe this, but not everyone among us today is whom they seem to be. It was Papa Ten Boom. Anybody remember Papa Ten Boom? Oh my goodness, such a literate congregation. Nobody remembers Papa Ten Boom. It was Papa Ten Boom who once said, "Because a mouse lives in a cookie jar does not make him a mouse." I'm waiting for you to catch up. You're all asleep. Nobody said. It doesn't make him a cookie. Come on, let's go. Come on. Are you here?
Yeah.
Yeah? Because someone comes and sits in church on Sunday morning does not make them a church. No, a Christian. That's right. You got it. All right? Now, in the text which is set before us today, Jesus warns us to beware of false teachers. See, not every teacher who comes to teach you something comes from God, nor does he necessarily teach you what God wants you to learn. Now, over the past several weeks in our sermons, we have seen Jesus attacked over and over again by the religious leaders of the nation of Israel. Now, these men had been entrusted by God with the Word of God. They were supposed to be instructing God's people in the truth of God's holy Word. But they had come to the conclusion that Jesus was dangerous, that he was a threat to their position of power and actually to the peace of their entire nation. They were so resolved in that belief that they wanted to see Jesus removed. That's a kind way of saying they wanted Jesus dead. Now, the circumstance is this. Those who had been entrusted with God's truth were opposing him who was the truth of God. They wanted to discredit Jesus so that they could have him executed. Now, folks, not every teacher comes from God. So in the text, which Paul read to you just a moment ago, after having asked the Sadducees a very technical question about the nature of the Messiah, and having shown them that the Messiah had to be God's son, since David acknowledged that he was greater than he, Jesus said to the people, "Beware of false teachers." Now, if this warning came only from Jesus on this particular occasion, you might assume that it was specific to that moment in time, to that place, and to those teachers. But since the warning is repeated again and again throughout the New Testament, you need come to a different conclusion. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. "If anyone teaches false doctrine and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction among men of corrupt minds who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain." 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. "But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them. Many will follow their shameful ways, bringing the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. So point one, lesson number one for today. There were false teachers in Jesus' day, and they do persist until now. The Bible warns us to test the spirits, for some are of God and some are not. Not every teacher comes to us from God. So, how do we recognize a false teacher? Well, number one, according to Jesus, false teachers are in the game for the show. They like to walk around in fancy clothes, he says, not with French cuffs or any of that. That's excluded. He never mentions French cuffs, never mentions. They like to walk around in fancy clothes, flowing robes, Jesus says, so that people will know who they are when they see them. Everywhere they go, they want people to know who they are because they are in it for the show. Number two, they take advantage of people for financial gain. Jesus said they devour widows' houses. It means that they are people, looking for people that they can use, particularly helpless people, so that they themselves can get rich over the abuse of the powerless. According to the passage which I read to you, financial gain is the first thing which motivates these teachers. Number three, they like to be the ones who pray publicly. It's not really prayer, just so you know. They're not actually talking to God, they're talking to others. And the prayers that they offer, nothing more than a religious show. Just to be really honest with you, frequently I get criticized because people say, he came to see me and he didn't even pray. Well, there you go. If you want me to pray, ask me to pray. But I'm not going to put on a prayer show. Jesus says it's what false teachers do. And number four, they forsake biblical truth. They deny that Jesus came in the flesh. They deny that God created the heavens and the earth. They will tell you that you do not need to pay attention to the Bible and that all men are saved. They will tell you that Jesus is a way to God, but not the way. They'll tell you things that the Bible does not say. And they'll even encourage you to disregard things the Bible does say. So they'll repeat to you, well, if the writers of the Bible only knew what we knew today, they certainly would not have written what they wrote. Yeah, they would have, because they wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and there is nothing new to the Holy Spirit. They forsake biblical truth. Jesus tells us to be aware of such as these, for their intention is to deceive us. He warns us to beware of them, for they are among us even now. Now, it's interesting to me that just a few verses back in the very chapter from which Paul read to you this morning, the false teachers who were attempting to attack Jesus flattered him in order to fool him. And in their flattering, they actually told us what a good, trustworthy teacher will look like. In speaking to Jesus, they inadvertently described the true teacher. It's Luke chapter 20, verses 21 and 22. They said, number one, the true teacher speaks and teaches what is right. He is going to tell you what the Bible says. For folks, it is the Bible which determines truth. He not only tells you what the Bible says, but he will demonstrate by his behavior that he believes the Bible to be true and right. A true teacher will speak to you from the Scripture. And in those same place, it says that a true teacher, number two, does not show partiality. Even if you are his best friend, even if you are his own son, if you come to him, he is going to tell you what God's word says. If necessary, he will rebuke you or sternly warn you from the word of God. For under no circumstance will he give you permission to wander. He does not show partiality to any person. So there it is for today. Jesus, Peter, Paul, and John warn us to test the spirits of those who would teach us, for not all teachers are true to the word of God. There are false teachers among us. The Scripture gives us a measure to use, both positive and negatively, to test the spirits of those who would be our teachers. We should learn them so that we can test the spirits. For not all teachers come from God. Now, it would be unfair of me to leave this text without making it personal. For I stand before you today in the role of a teacher. And on the basis of God's word, I invite you to test me, to determine if I am indeed a true teacher or a false one. Do I tell you what the word of God says? Do I try to live out the word of God before you? If you stray from the word, will I tell you so? Now, I assume that your answer to all of those questions would be yes, or you wouldn't be here in the congregation this morning, would you? But I'm going to end with the words of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian Christians, many of whom really thought very badly of the Apostle Paul. I find it hard to imagine, but they did. He wrote to them, "So then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now, it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Therefore, I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not mean I am innocent. No one is perfect. But it is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. Let him bring it all to light."